LibroFM lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore. Choose from more than 150,000 audiobooks, including New York Times bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers around the country. With LibroFM, you'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there. You know what one we're talking about, but you'll be part of a much different story, one that supports community.
If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to get more books into your busy life. Listen while doing chores, walking the dog, or just relaxing at home. All you need is a smartphone and the free LibroFM app.
If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen to next, check out recommendations and curated lists from the people who know audiobooks best, local booksellers.
Listeners of the Bookstore Podcast can get a 2-month audiobook membership for the price of 1 month.
Go to Libro.fm, that's Libro.fm, and enter bookstore at checkout. With each listen, take pride in knowing that you're supporting local bookstores.
This is not a 90 Day Fiancé podcast.
No.
Okay.
Welcome to the bookstore.
It's like a book club, but we actually read the book.
I'm Becca.
And I am Corinne. We've got a mini episode. So first, I think we'll start with some book news because there's some book news we can start off with.
Yeah. I don't know if this is so much news, but Lori Moore, who's pretty famous in like literary circles, I would say, for her short story collections.
Uh-huh.
She makes the rounds on like the New Yorker Fiction podcast and stuff like that. But she reviewed Sally Rooney's Normal People in New York Review of Books, I think.
Yes, the New York Review of Books.
Yep. Okay. And it's sort of like a review of the book and of the show.
Okay.
I won't spoil it, but it's pretty funny. I mean, she has a lot to say about millennials.
Oh,
and
boy.
I, you know, we all generalize people, like I get it, but it is especially interesting to see the idea of a millennial is the idea of a white middle upper class millennial.
Oh, yeah.
So she says a lot of like really funny things. And I don't mean funny like, wow, she's being funny, but it's funny as a millennial to read what she thinks millennials do and what we are. It very much radiates like get off my lawn energy.
It's also just so funny to me because younger millennials, too, are approaching 30. So like, who do they think they're talking about?
Well, like, we're adults. That's the whole thing is like, it's like this weird, she goes on, one of my favorite parts, it's just because I've been like obsessed with watching terrible tattoo reality shows, but she says something about how millennials get tattoos as if they don't think that life is long. And that to me is more of like SoundCloud rapper kind of energy. Like you get your first tattoo on your face and your hands.
Yeah.
It more or less seems like she's saying all people younger than me. And, you know, she's a good writer. And I don't agree with what she says because I loved Normal People, the book and the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's amusing to read. So I would recommend that. And you can go laugh at Lori Moore.
I have consumed neither the book or the TV show, so I'll skip over it. But I will still pass judgment on people passing judgment on millennials.
Yes.
So I reserve that right. My book news that I kind of just saw right before we started recording. So Mary Trump's book was released just a couple days ago, Tuesday, as we're recording this. So that would have been July 15th. And she, of course, is Donald Trump's niece. And she has written a memoir about her family called Too Much and Never Enough. And it has actually broken a record for its publisher, Simon & Schuster, by selling 950,000 copies on its first day, which is incredible. I think we touched on it a little bit many episodes ago about like how the numbers tend to be obscured when it comes to like things being on the bestseller list, etc. Mm-hmm. Typically, I think that this number is like hundreds of magnitudes more than what normally gets purchased for a newly released book. I'm a little surprised and a little annoyed. I guess, like, what is your opinion on like politically related books?
Well, here's the thing, and I think this is especially true recently with these political books that are just breaking records, huge hardcover sales, which is very strange. And I think that I, okay, let me start out with, I've never read an American political book. Like, I've read like kind of modern history books about like Russia, but never about the US. I have zero desire to ever read one of these books. You could not, you'd have to pay me $950,000 to get me to read this book. But when a publisher has a smash hit, I think that does, maybe this is just, I guess, a guess, that it frees up more money for them to be able to maybe take chances on other books that aren't going to sell well. So I guess to me, it's like, I guess it's a net good that it's selling so well. When it comes to just purely like the publishing industry, maybe they'll do, you know, take more chances on debut authors. I don't know if there's any data to support that, but what it says about the American reading public, I don't know.
Yeah. I find them really interesting. And I think we talked about that Bob Woodward book, like way, way back when that came out, whatever the, the hell that was called. The Wolf in the White House or something. What was that?
I have no idea. He's coming out with another book, I think.
Fear, Trump in the White House is what it was called.
Oh, that one, yeah.
It was rushed to publication so fast that it had multiple typos. Like, instead of public, it said pubic. but I think, like, as is kind of exemplary in that situation, which is the book that everyone was talking about for like 2.5 weeks and then it just completely disappears, I tend to look at these books as like, as a consumer, a really bad investment.
So, yes. Oh gosh. Because
like, no one's gonna care in a couple of months. So like, they, I don't know, maybe you can listen to the audiobook or a podcast that talks about it, but in general, that's a $27 brick that you just bought.
So. This is so, so silly and surface, but those political books tend to me, they look dated. They don't even look good on your shelf. It's not a good cover in a year. It's, you're going to be like, wow, that is like very 2020. Like, we have better stuff now. I don't know. I just, it's,
I'm passing like so many weird judgments on this. But yeah, it's kind of like if you walk into somebody's house and they have like, this is based on the example that I just pulled from watching the first season of 90 Day Fiance 20 minutes ago. But like, there's a shot of this guy in front of a bookcase and it's just like shelves and shelves and shelves of like hardcovered Stuart Wood books, which is like, you can't tell me you couldn't wait 3 months for the mass market paperback of that to come on. It
just
like, it doesn't seem like a good way to spend your money. And also, wow, I am like really flaming people. But anyway, I do find these books a little bit annoying in general. I mean, like, probably good on Mary Trump for doing what she thinks is right. I can't imagine being from that family is like fun or a benefit to your life in any sort of way. But yeah, I also just don't think that this is going to do us any good in the long run.
Yeah, with books like this, what else don't we know and what does it really matter?
Right.
Because these books do get fact checked. So if she has an actual juicy story, but you can't fact check it, then that's not going to be in the book.
Right.
So sometimes it just feels like, because she's not like, I would read a political essay or something like that, because that's from maybe like a cultural critic or something. It's not for me.
No.
But keep buying them.
Yeah, I guess so. But also buy some books by other people too while you're at it.
Yes.
And also read them because they're good too. All right. I think that's all for news. What we are going to do today is talk about books that are coming up. I think, did you choose all books that will be being published in the future from today?
Yes, I think one might have come out already, and I think maybe in other languages or countries they might have already come out. I'm not totally sure, but they're new to me.
Yes. So we've got a few picks of books that are upcoming that we want to put on your radar because they're on our radar. We'll just talk about those a little bit. Do you want to start?
Sure. Okay. So my first one is not a novel, A Memoir in Pieces by Jenny Erpenbeck, translated by Kurt Beal. This is out on September 1st from New Directions. We sang the praises of Erpenbeck when we did her novel End of Days for episode, I have it, 63. And this book sounds like it's going to be a collection of like memoir like stories about her growing up in East Berlin, along with essays about her writing career and her literary influences, and then also some meditations on the state of the world today, especially in regards to migration. So like mm-hmm. I said, Erpenbeck grew up in East Berlin, so she kind of has a perspective that's unique in that she understands why people wanted to leave the country where she was living. I think that in the Western world, we kind of view the people who fled East Germany as like, yes, I get it.
Right.
That's the general thought, is like, yes, it was good for them to try to escape over the wall or what have you. But we don't extend that same idea to people like crossing the Mediterranean or people coming over to the US from Mexico and Central America. And obviously we do, but I don't think it's like universal,
right?
Like people think of East Germany. So,
and I think a lot of that like tends to be generational too, right? Like you get 20 years removed from that and people start to feel differently about it than they did when it was happening. And I think that's the same thing that we're going to have now. 30 years from now, people are going to look back and see what is happening and consider it incredibly shameful, which it is currently
for sure.
Incredibly shameful. But yeah.
Yeah. So that's something that she discusses in the book too, is just like the migration crisis and things like that. And I think I always am thinking about it, but with everything that's been going on in 2020, I don't think I've been paying as much attention to it as what I used to. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just interested in reading about it again and reading about it from a perspective that I haven't. I also am just excited because I think one of the things we kind of liked about Erpenbeck was that she tied everything together in the end of the end of days. And since this title is a memoir in pieces, it makes me think that maybe she's going to kind of do the same with this book. Like there's going to be a bunch of different things and then they're all going to like tie together in the end.
I saw that one listed too for an upcoming release and I was really excited about it. I'm glad that you brought it up because, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Okay. My first pick, I am actually currently reading because I have a galley of it from NetGalley, but it is Pew by Catherine Lacey. It's actually due to be published the day that this episode releases. So July 21st, 2020. So you can get it right now as you're hearing it. And it is published by Farrar, Straus, and Giroux. I looked up how to pronounce that once and immediately forgot. So sorry, FSG.
I just say FSG.
And so it's a novel. It takes place in a small southern town and it's told from the perspective of a person who is of indeterminate age, sex, and ethnicity. And they are found, or maybe not even just ethnicity, also race, I suppose you could say. They are found sleeping in a church pew and taken in by people in the town to kind of be taken care of. And in a lot of ways, like, it reminds me of one of my favorite novels, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter by Carson McCullers, because you kind of, well, let me put it this way. Because the character is sort of like shape-shifty depending on how people are viewing them. Pew, I should say, they kind of project a lot of different things onto them based on what the person, you know, feels about themselves or whatever, which is kind of like a major theme of The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. So I'm interested in that aspect of it. I'm only like 20% into the book, I should say. But I also really enjoy the writing style. It's funny because, like, Pew, the character, doesn't know anything about themselves either. They're kind of like this blank slate and really sort of confused and they don't speak. So they're kind of like learning all of these things about other people and what other people tend to think is important too. And I find it really interesting. The book opens with a long quote from Ursula K. Le Guin's The Ones Who Walked Away from Omelas, which is a story that we covered on the podcast once. So it's got a lot of like interesting ideas about like identity and like what people think is important about identity, more specifically than like what identity like actually means, I think. And I was a little bit nervous about it going in because it seems like there's a lot of ways that this could go wrong, but so far so good. So I think you should check it out. Also, Gia Tolentino said it's one of the best books she's read this year, so you can't go wrong there, I guess.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I have that on my TBR too. Okay, so next one I have is Fathoms, The World and the Whale by Rebecca Giggs. This is out July 28th from Simon & Schuster. So my biggest fear is the ocean. Like,
yeah.
Just freaks me out because it's so big. It's, I don't know if I would say unpredictable, but like people underestimate it. You know, when you think about my favorite topic, shipwrecks. And I think I like the idea of exploring really big topics like climate change and ecology through one subject.
Mm-hmm.
And this subject is like whales, what it's doing to whales, what humans have done to whales, everything like that, how whales communicate with each other. And I don't know, when you're talking about big stuff like that, like climate change and the world and the ocean, it's just way easier to focus on one thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
So that's part of why I think this is interesting. And also, Rebecca Giggs is being compared to Rachel Carson, who wrote Silent Spring and several other books. And I really like Silent Spring. Silent Spring is very much like, it's science writing and nature writing, but with what I would say like a literary bent. And I think that's what this book is going to be too. So very into that. I also feel like I know a tiny bit about whale hunting because I read In the Heart of the Sea, which is like about hunting for blubber in the early 1800s.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yes, I know a tiny bit about whales. So now I want to find out more.
Yeah. Well, now you'll get an update on what we know about whales since 1843.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know, for some reason too, I've gotten more interested in non-domesticated animals. I've really always just been into like dogs and cats, but I started following Gators Daily on Twitter and they just, you know, post pictures of gators. And now all of a sudden I'm like into wild animals and gators. I've always only been into animals that humans can like have as pets.
You can have a gator as a pet. You just have to try harder.
I don't want to have a gator as a pet.
No, that sounds good. I have a book called like Eels or something. I don't know. I had to buy it because like eels, like, oh, somebody wrote a whole book about eels. And like since I bought it, like I found out that like nobody knows where eels come from, which is a weird thing to say.
See, so like that's
the ocean is full of mysteries. And
Exactly. It sounds like I'm like a fourth grader giving a book report, but that's exactly what I want. It's like that level of, you know, getting really into one animal and then learning everything about them.
Yeah. It's very important. My next pick is Bestiary by K. Ming Chang. It is due to be published on September 8th from One World. This is Kaiming Chang's debut novel. It's an intergenerational story of different women in this Taiwanese family and the myths that they like somehow actually live, I guess. It's sort of magic sounding. So the mother of the story tells her daughter a story about a tiger's spirit, and then shortly afterward the daughter wakes up with a tiger tail, like on her body. And then other strange and mysterious occurrences happen, and the daughter kind of has to like examine all of these family secrets. And it's, I guess, basically a story about, like I said, like family secrets, and then their immigration from Taiwan to the US. And then they live, I think, for a while in Arkansas and California. And it sounds really interesting and magical, like a little bit Karen Russell-y in ways. Think I read that Chang is also a poet. So like, just it sounds like an exciting and promising debut, because I always like something that's just like slightly offbeat. So looking forward to that. And I also love a story about mothers and daughters and grandmothers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say intergenerational story of women, and I'm like, yep, sign me up.
Right. I think
that the fantasy part, I think sometimes I don't necessarily like, but I'm almost always willing to try.
Yeah. I think one of the characters is like also queer, so there's like a lot of intersecting kind of identity things that go into it. So I'm looking forward to that.
So my next one is also have to do with families. It is Love After Love by Ingrid Persaud. I'm not sure.
Your guess is as good as mine.
It is out August 4th from One World. So she is from Trinidad, and I have never read a novel by a Trinidadian author. So, of course, I'm interested in that. I recently read an Edwige Danticat novel, who's from Haiti, and I think that kind of invigorated my interest in Caribbean literature and kind of made me think about the Read Around the World challenge list that I have. Not that I mean, it's kind of hard to do with the, I guess the libraries are open, but it's just not the same as it was. But I also feel like starting with one region might be easier. Like if I just focus on Caribbean literature, I think that'll be really interesting. So anyway, this book is about, it's kind of, I think, going to explore how family doesn't necessarily need to be related by blood, and also the secrets that families keep. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of like slowly revealing information to the reader and to the characters. There's like some big secrets that get revealed that kind of ruin lives. I think it can kind of turn out not great sometimes. It depends on how the story is told. But I am just interested in this one because it's like a son and his mother are living together with this guy, other man, who's like a friend of his mom's. The son overhears his mom and the man talking, and the mom reveals this big secret, and the son ends up actually leaving Trinidad and going to New York and not talking to his mom anymore because of apparently how intense that secret is.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it'll be interesting, like an exploration of choosing families or not choosing families. And I'm always going to be interested in immigration stories and growing up in another country.
Yeah, good one. My last pick is Stranger Faces by Namwali Sirpal, who we're actually going to be reading one of her novels, The Old Drift, in an upcoming episode in a couple of weeks. And this book, Stranger Faces, is going to be out September 29 from Transit Books. It's going to be part of this new series they have called Unspoken Lectures or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I think it's a it's a series of nonfiction books that are on specific topics and written by academics. Sirpal is a professor somewhere in California. I did not copy down all of the biographical information, so sorry. But this book, it's a book of essays, basically, or it is a book-length essay, I'm not sure which. And it's kind of about our relationship with faces and the way that, like, biologists and evolutionary biologists have kind of, like, explained the human relationship with faces in kind of, like, a sociological way. And I am going to read the publisher's description because I don't know that I'm smart enough to summarize it in a way that makes sense. So, which may also mean that I'm not smart enough to read this book, but that doesn't mean I don't think it sounds great. Okay, so here is the publisher's description. The face underlies our ideas about what constitutes a human, how we relate emotionally, what is pleasing to the eye, and how we ought to treat each other. This rests on a specific image of the face. We might call it the ideal face. Stranger Faces looks instead at the face that thwarts recognition. The disabled face, the racially ambiguous face, the digital face, the face of the dead, and imagines a new ethics based on the perverse pleasures we take in the very mutability of faces. I am really fascinated with this idea because lately I have been kind of struggling with issues of like beauty standards and stuff in the way that we kind of just in general, like the way we think about people just based on looking at them specifically, and like, what more do you look at than another person's face? So I'm assuming it will touch on topics related to that. And so I think I'm just really fascinated by that in general and looking forward to this book.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I also kind of like, I know publishers do this maybe fairly often, is kind of ask writers, they release a series like that on like different topics. Like I know Patti Smith has contributed to one that's like why I write, and then all these different writers will write a book and it gets published. And I don't think I've ever read any of them, but I just think it's like such a cool idea to do that. And yeah, so this one sounds really interesting. Plus, you know, one topic books are always fascinating to me too.
Yeah. And I mean, it's fairly short. I think it's like 140 pages or something. So it's not like completely overwhelming. But yeah, it's a topic that I find really interesting. Just, yeah, I like the idea of it also exploring like the faces of people who tend to be marginalized and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's a million other books coming up, but we don't totally want to overwhelm you or use up all of your time on this fine day. So keep an eye out for these books. Add them to your TBRs. Let us know if there are books that you are reading or looking forward to reading that are coming up. Let us know what you've got on your lists so that we can add them to our lists, which are already too long.
Yeah, I only have like 300, I think.
I saw that because I was going through yours to make sure I didn't have too much overlap. And I was like, oh,
I got to go through that and like eliminate some that I'm just know I'm never going to get to. Like I probably
used to try to keep mine. Yeah, I used to try to keep mine at like 100 and I'm up at 170 and I'm like, it's over now. this is never going to be okay again. Well, are you, just out of curiosity, are you reading anything right now, aside from books for the podcast that you wanted to shout out at all?
I did pick up, I think it's called Till, T-Y-L-L. It was on the shortlist for the International Booker Prize. Mm-hmm. I started reading that. I mean, I'm not very far in, like maybe 10 pages, but it sounds interesting. You know, I like a good translated novel. This is translated from German, I think. So it seems to be about like medieval village type situation. So into that.
Cool. Like I said, I'm reading Pew. I picked up Giovanni's Room, which I actually need to get back to. And also I'm mostly just taking this stupid class that I'm taking. So I'm four books behind on my reading challenge. So not looking great for this year.
Oh, well. Do we have a poll that patrons?
Yeah, so we will vote on? We will. Yeah, we'll have a poll. It's not up quite yet. I need to put that up. But I'll have it up by the time this episode's out, so we'll go with that. So, yeah. Anyway, I guess maybe we'll say thank you for listening to The Bookstore. If you like the podcast and want to support us beyond downloading and listening to us, you can do that by leaving a review at Apple Podcasts, or you can check out our Patreon. We are doing a poll to decide what we would be reading after The Old Drift, which is a couple books away, so you can check that out there. And participate. Gonna get back on posting there regularly because we've got our shit back together, hopefully.
We'll see. No promises. You can find all the ways to contact us, email, social media, phone line at thebookstorepodcast.com.
Our next book discussion is going to be Hurricane Season by Fernanda Melchor. You can find that at your local bookstore or library and read along with us.
The Bookstore is a production of Awkwardly Social Media, produced by Becky Young and Corinne Keener. Technical and production support is provided by Josh Bourdon and Zach Titus.
And John, if you're out there, thanks for listening.
See you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
Did you start from the first season?
No.
I started from the first season before the 90 days.
Have you seen the first season?
No, I started from, I don't know, season 7 maybe? I don't know, I follow like two 90-day subreddits, and so I'm thinking about...